Welcome to the War Report on Public Education. The future of education is an important concern for our time. Where it's heading, how it's evolving, and the influence corporate America has on its outcome. The War Report on Public Education provides critical news, analysis, and perspectives on the what, why, who, where, when, and how of both the new corporate state elites campaign, the Machiavellian agenda to destroy the nation's public education system, and the rising public resistance movement to defend and defeat this Machiavellian agenda. And now, here is our host, Dr. James Abington Miller, Jr.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the War Report. This week, we are doing part two of a show, obviously, we did last week, that basically says teachers ask the question or makes a statement about teachers, teachers union, and charter schools. For those of you who maybe have not heard last week's show grew out of something that took place a week before, which is to say now 2 weeks and 1 day. And that something was a Saturday. I got into a conversation between teachers on Facebook. I didn't get into it, I just observed it, that was dealing with the question of the union, teachers' unions, both seeking to unionize charter schools, and more ominously, and I use that's my word, more ominously, teachers' union support for the proliferation of charter schools going forward, under the guise that they, teachers' unions, would be able to unionize teachers in those going forward charter schools. And far as I can see, that's it. More charter schools, the more opportunity we get to unionize the teaching staff of those schools, and hence we backdoor-wise or door-wide-open-wise, we support charter schools now. Or have we been supporting charter schools all along? Well, that was the conversation that I looked in on. And there were teachers who were saying, yes, the teachers' union should support charter schools currently and support charter schools going forward. Going forward meaning new charter schools coming online so that the union would have a foothold in those schools. And there were those who were saying no way at all. And I'm looking at this exchange, and as I normally do, I usually don't get involved on Facebook in terms of commenting and stuff, even on stuff that I post in terms of articles, research, some that I post, I usually don't get involved. I didn't get involved in that conversation, but I'm going to tell you, folks, up front, personal, to me, it was WTF all the way for me. I couldn't, cognitive dissonance maybe I was experiencing, no, it was for me, it was those teachers who were supporting the union's privatization, well, union's effort to unionize existing public schools, I got. But supporting the proliferation of charter schools going forward under the guise of we'll be able to unionize them, and I still don't know what that means, what people are thinking when they're saying, okay, basically, if we can we can unionize charter schools, that's a good thing. How is it a good thing? I'm having a problem because I'm trying to contain myself, folks. Remember last week I didn't get involved in the conversation we had here on War Report too much because my, some would call it passion, I would call it my pissed offness, what have you, was surfacing, and I backed off because I didn't want, for the first time, the women of the War Report actually came on and did a show, and I didn't want what I had to say, my feelings, etc., to in any way be ascribed to them, so I backed off, and I'm not going to back off this time around because it's me doing solo, so this will be me being professional, me being an activist, but also me being me in terms of how I see it, what I think about it, and etc. So I looked at this, I'm going, are these teachers doing a cognitive dissonance thing here? Are they not aware of the role that charter schools are playing in the overall destruction of public education, public schools? They're teaching public school teachers, those teachers who go through a college program, university program, and then go through additional preparation to be certified to be teachers. So are you telling me that those people who have been teachers for years, in some cases decades, do they not understand the role of charter schools in this war and what the end game of the war is? If you've been listening to War Report for 3 years plus now, you know what the end game is, and that is the destruction of public education, public schools, teachers, teachers' unions, neighborhood schools, students, families, communities, and the remaking of all of this in the image and in the interest of the privatization of everyone and everything. And my thing is, how in that could you support charter schools? So that's what the show last week was a result of, that me looking in on this conversation and our response to it. And today we're going to go a little further. The three legs of this tent pole: teachers, charter schools, charters, union, teachers' unions. I'm going to say that again. Teachers, teachers' union, charter schools. And I'm going to start with charters. And I'm going to give a little history, and I'm also going to tell you that for almost 3 to 5 years now, I have been studying charters. By that, I mean going back, looking at their origins, looking at their purpose, looking at what, how they've come about, their status, everything that I could find. And I've kept, I don't know how many files on charter schools. I plan to do a series on charters exclusively sometime in the future, maybe the very near future, like the next couple of months. I think I'm ready. So today's is just going to be a tidbit of what I'm talking about here. Charters. People, you should know by now that charter schools came about in a different format, different name, back in the 1950s, precisely after the Supreme Court decision of 1954 that declared segregation unconstitutional and separate but equal unconstitutional. In the South, there were mass resistance exiting from the public schools. I'd rather pull my kid out of public schools than to have my kid in a class with African Americans or non-whites, and I'd rather have my kid in a school where motivation was back then. And what people did back then, they pull their kids out in mass, and almost entire school districts having their students pull back out of schools, having teachers themselves saying they will not teach in a school that is integrated, or basically, want to say it, have black students in their classrooms, and whole administrations and state boards. And they came up with creating what they then call academies. And these were white-only academies. These were academies that supported segregation as it has been. These are academies that George Wallace, when he stood in the doorway blocking students coming in to register at the University of Alabama, when he's famous, and I said this last week, segregation today, segregation tomorrow, segregation forever. This is where your academies got its birth. Then you get a guy named Milton Friedman in University of Chicago who sees upon this to put forth this neoliberal ideology that public schools, the word public, the public should not have a monopoly on said schools, that there should be alternatives, there should be rivals, there should be competition to the public school system as it has been. And this competition falls under this notion of school choice. Parents should have the choice, or they should have selections out there from which they can choose from in terms of where they will send their kids for an education. And that parents should not have to pay for the choice menu, or the choices on the menu. Like, parents just get vouchers that they could use at whatever school they decide is, quote, right for their student or their child or children. If they should also get this thing that we now call charter schools, they should get not only vouchers and tax credits, they should get schools that are an alternative to the public schools, and that these schools should get public money just like public schools get public money for running their operations. So you have this notion of school choice, which you already know this. If you've been around education any length of time, you know that this whole market-driven, neoliberal market-driven concept of school choice, that the public pays for school choice so that parents can select the school system of their choice that they feel is best for their child. Now, what we have is coming from the 50s into the 60s and the pushing of school choice, then you get, I'm not an educational historian, I'm not a labor union historian. My timing may be off about what I'm about to say, but the phenomena itself is accurate. We get in the state of New York, New York City, a guy, Al Shanker, who says charter schools. We should have charter schools. And charters are like charters, I guess, back coming out of England in the 1400s, 1500s, where England gave charters to companies to go to the New World and set up the colonies. Here, the charter schools should be schools that are set up by union teachers. They should be free to discover innovation or innovational techniques that will enhance students' achievement and success, but they should, and they should also operate under the same rules and regulations as the public schools. And hence, it would be a public charter, a public school. Well, Milton Friedman and company, the people who were pushing the tax credit, the vouchers, seized on this notion of charters and saying that the old academies should fall under this. They should be schools, but they shouldn't fall under public education rules, regulations, laws. They should be private in the sense that they should be unregulated. And so that they are public so they can get public funds, but they're private so that they can do their own thing, their own way, without any public accountability, any public body coming in, looking at their books, looking at their operation. They're private in that regard, like a private business would be. And so hence, you do have this sort of union nexus here with charters, supposedly, and I say supposedly, that the notion of charters by Al Shanker was those entities should be public in every sense of the word, public funding, public school teachers with guidelines, accountability to follow as any other public school. So then we move forward into the 90s, 2000, and then we get No Child Left Behind, and Bush 2 pushing charter schools as a solution to what I'll talk about a minute from now. Charter schools do a better job in educating students than the public schools. And hence, public schools themselves should become charter schools. And if you've been around War Report for the last 3 years, when I did the shows in the first year on the same topic about how No Child Left Behind had four avenues for turning public schools into privatized charter schools. And you know, if you're in education, you know what those four avenues are. So that we have here charter schools. And we know that charter schools, because they're not regulated, they don't have to bring in teachers who have a bachelor's degree, a major in education, maybe a master's degree to get their certification, the state certification, to be able to teach in public schools. They don't have to do any of that. We know that. We know organizations like Teach for America comes in and fill that void. We know today Wisconsin, the state of Wisconsin, other areas that pass laws that basically says that anyone who has knowledge, experience in a subject area and who've not been convicted of a felony, I think they add that to it, can come in and teach in the schools, charter and public schools. And it goes on and on and on. I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about charter because I'm going to do it. I've talked about it in the past, and I'm going to do it later. But the one thing that I was I couldn't get from this conversation that these people were having 2 weeks ago is that all teachers, and now hopefully many parents, will know that charter schools are the nuclear weapon for mass destruction of public education, public schools, teachers, unions. You have to know that now. I don't care what the fuck your unions say. You have to know that. Now, I just dropped the F word. Sorry, team war. And that's the case. How can any teacher support the proliferation of charter schools? How can any teacher support their unions supporting, promoting the proliferation of charter schools? It's one thing to, want to go into existing charter schools and try to unionize them. Lots of luck on that. But it's something entirely different, in my opinion, that you think that supporting the proliferation of charter schools is going to lead to the unions being able to unionize. And what the hell is that going to do? Public schools that are unionized are being closed by the dozens. Public schools that are unionized are being bombarded with Common Core or whatever the flavor of the year is in terms of what the curriculum should be. Public schools that are unionized are seeing their teachers' ranks be decimated in the thousands, maybe tens of thousands. So what is it that, quote, those teachers see when they support or say, because I'm definitely not part of that, that teachers should support their union's promotion of and proliferation of charter schools? I don't get it. Now, turn to the union. As I said earlier, the justification right now is that if we can unionize the teaching force in these charter schools, that's going to do wonders for the school. That part came out slowly because I'm trying to say the words when I have absolutely no belief in what I just said as a justification. The history doesn't support that assumption. So I'm going to raise a question, and it's about the proliferation going forward. Is it a situation where the union leadership have known for a while that we're losing this war and we're going to lose this war, and hence that old adage of if you can't beat them, join them? Silence is for you to think about what I just said. If you can't beat them, join them. Now, that's going to piss off a whole lot of people that I don't give a shit. What else could it be? Could it be that, charter schools are good schools? Yes, we have good charter schools that do what? They have students that perform well on standardized tests. That's the measure of all schools, is how well students do on standardized tests that were put in place to do what? Measure students' quote achievement, whatever hell that means, versus put in place with the knowledge and intention that said test would fail a huge number of students of a particular or specific, quote, racial group, social class group, socioeconomic class group, and teachers, again. You should know, and I won't go heavy on this one because most people don't really know. And I've talked about this in the past. There was a movement called eugenics movement that came out of 1800s England and into the 1900s. The nephew, a cousin of Darwin. You remember Darwin, you know, survival of the fittest species and the notion of species evolve because they survive the competition of life. And that first law of nature is what? Self-preservation, survival. Well, that research of his led to his, I think it was his cousin, I don't know, first cousin, second cousin down the line, using the finding that he did in his research, and he applied it to the notion of breeding, animal breeding, how if you breed animals with different genetic profile, you can get a new species. I'm going to say that. I may be not correct, but you get something new out of it. And if you look at horse breeding, you look at dog breeding, you look at cattle breeding, you get these different species. A good example of dog breeding is the Doberman Pinscher, with a mixture of two other species, I don't say types of whatever I'm talking about here, that led to the Doberman Pinscher, that gave it a certain, quote, animal instinct, animal mentality, makes good, and German Shepherds to some extent, make good watchdogs, make good dogs for protecting property, protecting individuals. They have that instinct bred into them. And so that was called eugenics. It came across the pond to America, and it took a real right turn when it came across the pond here, and people were looking at eugenics as a, quote, science, which it was not, is not, never have been, never will be. It's called a pseudoscience, and that, but it could be applied to humans, and going through the measurements and the physiology of humans, you could begin to see those humans who had survived, who had evolved, and they were, quote, more intelligent. They were able to develop a more sophisticated culture, and you know where I'm going. It was a eugenics movement that Adolf Hitler and the Germans of World War II era seized upon and used it as a proof positive of the superiority of the Nordic type and the inferiority of every other group that was not part of the Nordic Western Europe type. Here It was used to as proof that whites were superior to blacks, Native Americans, and then later on it was refined that European, Southern European, Eastern European did not fit the Nordic profile, thus they were inferior as well, and then we get the whole thing. But what came out of that period, and it was about 50 years or so, would reminisce going up as late as right now, that this notion that the eugenics could develop measures, scientific measures, that would validate the differences in intelligence and worthiness of people. Folks, standardized testing came out of the eugenics movement. It came out of the Stanford-Binet test and all the other tests that has followed. It was the purpose of proving that different, quote, races, and by the way, the term race as it applies to people is not a scientific thing. It is a culturally manufactured, constructed concept of race and different races. But the eugenics movement and the tests that came out of that and all the subsequent tests that we have were designed to prove that whites were superior to non-whites. And these are the same damn tests that you have in the Common Core, you have in all the other standardized tests that have been implemented since the beginning of testing. And you have the charter school people saying that by them being a charter school, don't have to follow the regulations, don't have to be constrained by the old way of trying to teach and whatever they state as what makes them different. They rely on, where they're forced to, standardized test measures. Measures that were designed to show that, in the main, the vast majority of the charter schools that you know are in the urban centers, and you know also in the urban centers you have your black, your brown, and your poor. So, I'm going to bring it back. How can teachers support charter schools and the proliferation of charter schools? Regardless of what their union are doing, how can individual teachers think that charter schools are great, public schools are worse, public schools should be destroyed, charter schools should take public school's place, and I don't get it, teachers. So now we're coming back to the teacher end of this formula. The teachers union, the leadership, because not every local teachers union, state teachers union, subscribe to this supporting future and proliferating and promoting charter schools going forward under the guise of, if we unionize them, what will that do? All that, in my view, and you guys, you know, you're the teachers out there, you can tell me, what will it do other than give you more people paying dues, thus give the union more money? I cannot see what supporting the proliferation of charter schools will do for the students, for public education as it's supposed to serve a purpose of preparing students to become young adults, to become citizens in a democracy, to become, have the ability to become self-sufficient, self-sustaining through their knowledge, through their skills, so they can go out and get jobs, but more importantly, now being able to function in a multicultural society, especially a society that's going to become a minority-majority sometime in the 2040s. I don't get it, folks. I really don't get it. So, now, I've gone through the origins of charters, and one other thing I will say, since charters use a lot of Teach for America, and as I mentioned earlier, now some places are saying that Joe Blow, Mary Sue, if they had a job where they use mathematics in their daily work and they've acquired an expertise, they can come in and teach math or come in and teach English if they've had a job where English language, which is everywhere, but the structure of the English language, the ability to teach writing and reading and comprehension, you can be a teacher. Now, that's charter schools, and that compare that to our public schools, where teachers, as I alluded earlier, many of them get an opportunity to junior, senior year, maybe major in education, depending on the state that you're in. Then you may also, in order to be certified, you have to do graduate work, specifically aimed at preparing you to be a teacher. In addition to that, an state exam, just like the bar exam, just like the medical exam, that demonstrates that you have a certain level or a minimum level of competency to be able to go into a classroom and provide instruction and participate in the development, the intellectual, social development of students and future citizens. You don't get that in the charter schools. And you also know as teachers that many of the prep schools, teacher prep schools, universities, college, small schools, big schools, are being warred upon for the purpose of either destroying those programs and substituting in their place Relay and other self-proclaimed teacher prep programs, just like Eli Broad set himself up in his superintendent's academy, and now maybe principal academy. All the leadership positions, school board, being a member of the school board, and running for state superintendent of schools. And if you remember, and I'm not asking a lot, remember when I did a show on school boards and the war on school boards and what's happening, which is still happening today, the war on school boards, with Sue Broad and setting up his, quote, academies, he specifically states that teachers, principals, and other people who have worked in public education do not apply for training in this academy. I want CEOs, retired military generals, retired politicians. I want people who have not been tainted by public school, either education, training, and or experience at any level, because I want people who will come in, be trained to run entire school districts, and do it like a business. And you don't need education experience as teachers, counselors, principal, assistant principal, you name it, to do this. And so, again, we're talking about supporting the proliferation of charter schools that utilize the people who don't get the preparation to be teachers, like the public schools, and saying that these people are going to be better educators and that they have a home in the charter school industry. And also, folks, you know those people going forward are going to be the ones who take your job. And speaking of that, on the War Report page, just maybe 20 minutes before we went on air, we posted an article and some research that's called War on Workers. Self-driving cars will kill a lot of jobs. What then? And the subtitle or the message here was the autonomous vehicles will be driving cars. They'll be driving jobs away. And that this is the future of work. And I did do a comment on the post, and I said something to the effect of, is this the future of public schools and public school teachers? And I was referring to something that I hope I'll have some time to get to, but basically, in a nutshell, this notion of personalized learning, this notion of actually technology coming into the school, coming into the classroom, and that technology eventually will replace the need for human trained teachers. I'll hit that before we get out of it. And I'll also say that I've spent almost a year plus on that particular issue, and I'm planning to do a four-part series, maybe April or parts of May. So we're back to where we are now. There are some points that I want to make about today's show, and again, this is me and my skepticism as to why teachers could support charter schools, period, and the proliferation of charter schools in the future under the mistaken, and my words, mistaken notion that if you unionize charter schools now and you unionize, you support the charter school movement going forward, that you'll be able to charter, you will be able to unionize them. And my question remains, for what purpose? For whose interest? I don't see it, and I haven't found anything that tells me that my skepticism is misplaced. Points that I want to make, and many of these points come from last week's show that I didn't get a chance to present, and they come from the team, and they should get credit for raising some of the points that I'm about to make. First point, called the big lie. And the big lie is public schools and public schools teachers are failures. And that point two, charter schools and privatization is the answer to the failure of public schools and public schools teachers. That, to me, one and two, when you add them together, you get, for me, the biggest lie. It's one plus two equals three equal the biggest lie, and that is charter schools are public schools, and they're not public schools. And I'll repeat this until I'm blue in the face. You know what that means, blue in the face, you're dead, type thing. Charter schools are public schools when they're siphoning money from the school district that would normally go to the public school is given to the charter schools. Charter schools are public schools when they seek to take over buildings or co-locate in buildings. They're public schools. Charter schools are public schools when they go to Albany, when they go to Sacramento, when they go to Lansing. These are city, state capitals, and they lobby for more money, when they lobby for more autonomy, when they lobby for more power to operate as a private entity. That's when, quote, they are public schools. But the minute they step into a courtroom, they'll tell the judge, and their defense will be, we are a private entity. And like any other private business, we are not subject to public school regulations. We don't have to open our books to any entity, individually or collectively, of the public. We don't have to hire certified, state certified teachers. We can discipline our students according to our manual, not the state or the district. Hence, there's no standing for this case against us to go forward because we are not a public school. And if you don't know that already, because I've said it I don't know how many times on the show, but even being wherever you are, this phenomena has played out over and over and over in terms of charter schools. When they get in court, they'll say, we are a private school. We do not have to show you our books. We are not accountable to you, the state, the district, the parents. The minute they step out of the courtroom, we're public school. Keep the checks coming. Keep giving us the buildings that you close so that we could occupy them. That's part of the big lie. There's a big truth that I see, and that is they are neoliberal, Machiavellian agenda, nuclear weapons of mass destruction used to destroy public education, schools, teachers, students, communities, and yes, unions. Big truth here, folks. And if you don't think that's true, go back and look at what has happened in the last, I was in 16, 17 years with Bush 2 and Obama 1. We're talking 16 years here, folks. Just look at the last 16 years and tell me that charter schools are not the preferred weapon, more so than vouchers, more so than tax credit. And I remember saying this on several shows. When you support tax credits, when you support vouchers, you're talking about a one-on-one, one family getting a voucher, getting tax credit, one-on-one. There are 50 million students in this country. Boy, it would take you forever to destroy public education via that route. But charter schools, setting up a single charter school where you can get 100, 200, 300 people coming in, setting up a charter school that becomes a charter school district like New Orleans and like Los Angeles is trying to be, like Rahm Emanuel is trying to make Chicago. You get the whole damn enchilada. That's the West Coast expression. Wouldn't you want that over this piecemeal, one voucher, one tax credit at a time? We're talking about, and I've said this a jillion times, we're talking about something that is annually expenditure of $1.2 to $1.5 trillion United States-wide, and $7 trillion globally. So, that's the big truth. Big message. Unions need to protect public schools, public education, teachers, students, and not aid and abet the proliferation of charters. Schools. Not at all, in my opinion, and I stand by that both personally and professionally. And if you read that article that I told you was posted, one question that popped in my mind when these, quote, driverless cars, does the passenger need a driver's license? Does the car need a driver's license? Does anyone need a driver's license anymore? And let's extrapolate that to teachers. Will teachers need education, licensing, and experience in the future? No, because computers, machines, don't need a license. And that's where we're heading, folks. This technological revolution, bringing technology in the classroom, into the schools, this notion of proficiency, education, individualized education, which I said I'll talk about in more detail, depends on computers. And never, ever, double negative, forget. A computer is a machine, folks. Your machine doesn't need a license. It doesn't need a union. It doesn't need a holiday. It doesn't need vacation. It doesn't need maternity leave. It doesn't need personal leave days. It's a fucking machine. And that's who will be teaching our children presently and in the near future and the future going forward. And for teachers and their teachers' union to support that future, I do not understand it, folks. Cognitive dissonance doesn't even come into play for me here. Just strictly can't get to it. As usual, there were a lot of other things that I wanted to say, and I think I just made up my mind that next week's show will be part 3. If you like this show and the one before, then please come back. If you don't, as always, your choice. Remember, this is choice. Don't come back. I will be here whether you come back or not. With that, folks, my time is up. Thank you, and have a good rest of your Sunday and part three, and have a lot more to say about this going forward. And it would be very nice to hear from some of you folks in terms of what I'm saying. I'm saying I talked about teachers, I talked about their unions and the marriage of those two charter schools and how misguided I think that is. What do you say? You can post on the War Report. You can post on my page. You can call in next time because we'll have time. So, again, thanks for being here and hope to see you next week. Have a good one, folks.
Join us again next time as we explore and become aware of the most pressing problem of our time, education, corporate America, and their unholy alliance.